This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
You have a very nice day at work.
Alice at
97.3. That's pretty good.
Teddy swims. It's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It is Tuesday, and today is National Spinach Day. I love spinach. I am like, if you, you know what's the crazy thing about spinach to me? You have to buy the biggest bag of spinach to get enough for two people to have a serving. Like, it reduces down. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. Anyway, it's National
Spinach Day.
It's so
weird you cut your own self off. You were starting to say something about spinach, and then you went, you know what's weird about spinach?
I did. You put it, you get the huge bag, you put it in, you start sauteing it, and it just like, it's like disappears. I'm like, oh, I can barely make two servings out of this. It's just weird. Oh, you know, you ever do that where you sort of blanch it real quick, and then it just goes from this huge pile to nothing?
No, I think we usually eat it raw.
Oh, yeah. I don't like it raw as much. I like it to be. I like olive oil, salt, a little bit of garlic.
Sounds good.
Wilt it. Just wilt it. And then, little chicken, something. Not only does spinach provide iron, it's an excellent source of vitamin K. No one even knows what that's for. Vitamin A and vitamin C. Not to mention manganese and magnesium. I'm strong to the finish because I eats me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot, toot.
People don't even know that anymore.
I know, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something like that, right?
I don't even remember.
So Rebel Wilson and Borat. This is the thing. Rebel Wilson has a book coming out. It's called Rebel Rising,
mm-hmm.
and she has now revealed the identity of the, quote, massive a-hole who's been trying to stop her from writing about him in her upcoming book. Apparently, Borat is in one chapter. In an Instagram post last week, Rebel Wilson says she has a whole chapter in her book dedicated to a massive a-hole that she'd previously worked with in Hollywood. She did not reveal the person's name at that time. Or the project they were, she didn't give any further details. She was just teasing that she's got this thing coming up. And it's Sacha Baron Cohen. They worked together on a 2016 comedy called The Brothers Grimsby, and clearly she didn't enjoy it. I guess he is sending her cease and desist and trying to get this book stopped.
First of all, she did a great job. And the people who published her book have to be proud and happy for the work she's done. To have teased it with, I'm outing a bleep hole in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you go to the Me Too movement and all the other things. Like, what must someone have done to her? And then when it came out that it was Borat, I kind of went, oh. And then they said the movie. Has anybody seen the Brothers Grim?
I never even heard of it.
The Brothers Grimsby. No,
anyway, hold on. I'm going to look it up and we'll see if it was a flop or not.
Well, clearly. Like, I never even heard of it, much less saw it.
Home box office. Let me get my thing here. The Brothers.
800-400-3697. Text us if you saw it or if you know. But I don't have any idea. Often I'll see something and go, well, I won't have time to.
Yeah, this thing made $27 million worldwide. That's, I'm going to say that is
better than the movie I made, but
it opened to $3 million. It's a rated R comedy, action comedy, crime adventure.
But to hear, first of all, then you start to go, okay, the term, the word she's using is bleep hole.
Yes.
Specifically.
So here's what she's saying about this. And it's, I mean, it is like, I can picture him. He is this guy.
That's, I was going to say, you went to work with Borat and Ali G, mm-hmm. and you're surprised he's a bleep hole?
And he was like, take off your clothes. It's funnier.
He's the stunt guy. He yeah. will burn you and record it. And really out, like, how many people has he outed for the, including Giuliani? And who was the dude for the Georgia racist guy that he was like?
He puts people in these positions where they are saying they think they're talking to someone that they're not. They're talking to someone completely else. They're talking to this guy. And they are saying their deepest feelings about
him. I don't know if it was a senator, but it was a government guy Georgia. Who he had yelling racist crap, and then the guy went, you tricked me. Well,
but you didn't have to yell it. You could have just said, I'm not going to yell that. He's famous for that. Even at Ali G, he would have people, which is, I feel like, early days of his becoming famous. He was the king of seeming like the dumb interviewer who was just really
rolling
people,
you, yeah. So anyway,
the whole time
I'm not excusing his behavior by any stretch. I'm just saying I wasn't. When the name came out, I went, oh, no surprise there.
So here's what she says happened. The book is coming out Tuesday. She is saying, "Can you see? This must be coming out next Tuesday, right? If this is, because I was seeing this in the last couple of days. So she, let's see,
it says April 2nd.
Oh, okay. So it is next week. She says, I will not be bullied or silenced by high-priced lawyers or PR crisis managers. Sasha is denying her claims. His rep says, while we appreciate the importance of speaking out, these demonstrably false claims are directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, which I don't even know. Have they seen what's written? Including contemporaneous documents, film footage, and eyewitness accounts from those present before, during, and after the production of The Brothers Grimsby. In an interview that she did about a decade ago. And so this movie came out in 2016, but they clearly shot it in these are interviews from 2014 where she's talking about the experience that they had on the set. So she's on doing some radio show, and I think it's in Australia. So I didn't recognize the name of the people. Rebel said that Sasha was constantly harassing her on the set, doing stuff like trying to make her get naked in one scene and trying to make her do things like stick fingers places. She says, Sasha is so outrageous. Every single day he's like, Rebel, can you just go naked in the scene? And I'm like, no. Sasha and I have the same agent in America. And I'm like, Sasha, I'm going to call our agent Sharon and tell her how much you're harassing me. She said, every day he's like, just go naked. It'll be funny. Remember in Borat when I did that naked scene? It was hilarious. On the last day, I thought I'd obviously won the argument. And he wound up getting a body double to do the naked scene. She wouldn't do it. So he was like, we have to do it. It'll be funny. So get someone else to do it. She says, then in the last scene, he was like, Rebel, can you just stick your finger where the sun don't shine on me?
On him?
Yes. And I went, what do you mean, Sasha? That's not in the script. He's like, look, I'll just pull down my pants and you do that finger stick and it'll be a really funny bit. And she's all, no, I'm not doing that. So in the end, they compromised and she butt slapped him. She just gave him a little slap on his butt.
You know that.
But to me, this is not like, what is he fighting about? He's doing nothing. Maybe he's just helping her. Maybe he's like, I'll help you promote your book.
Oh, I don't believe that. But I think that, you know, it's more dangerous than ever to be caught on the wrong side of any situation. So,
but I would not have known. Well, I suppose she was saying there's some a-hole that I'm outing in this book. But maybe you just go, if this is the worst thing in the book.
Yeah, I feel like having seen some of his work, I wouldn't
be surprised.
You can't
be surprised
by how he behaves. The other thing that I'm surprised by is, and I learned this on a college film 30 years ago, you can do your scenes and then, you know, I came back like another day and they went, we did all the pickup shots so you don't have to worry about it. And I was like, what? And they go, yeah, well, you know, one of the scenes is a hand turning the key of the car. Mm. We don't need your hand. It doesn't matter. And I was like, yeah, well, I'll do it, though. And they went, we did it already.
It's done.
Any hand will do.
We put the hand through the arm of the sleeve you were wearing, and we turned the
thing. That's exactly right. So I just, he could have gotten anybody on, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
A intern. Just kidding. I mean, you don't want to do that to interns.
But you put a wig on and you know.
But a stunt finger is what my point.
Oh, right. I don't actually know if that happened in the movie. But yes, he could have gotten a stunt finger.
That's all
I'm saying.
I
think it was just more that they would be wrestling stunk and finger, yeah. A stunk finger. Both. Yeah. Stunt and stunk. Anyway, whatever. It's some supposed thing between the two of them.
That's a strange ask, isn't it?
It is. But he is a comedian. I actually get the vibe from this whole, even how she's explaining it, that he's just like, we need to be outrageous. That's what I'm known for, and that's what I'm going
for.
Keep pushing. And I'm looking for... It'll be funny if you did. Not I want to see you naked. Not I'm trying to make you uncomfortable. More like, I want this movie to be funny and I want you to be as outrageous as I am. So,
well,
whatever.
The beauty of film is that you can do something and then later go, we can't use that. But also, you could do something like she could do it, thinking, all right, I'm just going to shut this guy up. And then that ends up being the scene.
The thing. That the rest of her life, she's the finger lady.
Right.
Next up, time for a mini game.
Wow.
I did warn you. Okay, there we go. Mini game. How old is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
76.
Brandon, you care to take a guess?
77.
He's 76. You nailed it.
Oh,
dude.
My God.
Okay, what is...
I could have just gave it to him.
Yeah,
you
but
asked
I
me if
to.
I had a
I wanted
guess.
You to lose. So,
you wanted him to be rotten and do his trick on me is what you wanted.
Well, I was thinking overrun. I was going to choose over or under, one or the other.
76. She's like, bam, with an arrow. Boing, and a bullseye. What's his net worth? Let's see if you can do it again.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is worth $400 million.
$399.
$450. Damn it. Clean sweep of the minigame. Arnold Schwarzenegger had surgery last week to get a pacemaker. This is like his fourth time they've had to crack into his chest. And I don't know if this is like a whole open heart thing. I guess it is. Well.
Cracking into your chest is open heart surgery.
Well, I mean, those are my words. So he actually, let's see. His surgery last Monday to become a little bit more of a machine, he says. Become a little bit more of a machine. He got a pacemaker put in. So he has something here. Let's see. He did have open heart surgery in 1997. He had his pulmonary and aortic valves replaced. But since they don't last forever, he had to get one replaced in 2018 and another in 2020. But they do... They'll go in laparoscopically for some percent. I have no idea. Pacemaker sounds big. But for him to be, I mean, if he had this last Monday, I just don't know if he's up and about.
I don't know what people think. I know that if I think of muscular He-Man type body types, I think of Arnold.
Yeah.
And we've always used the term Arnold growing up to, you know,
okay, Arnold,
someone who's flexing right. Yeah. Or someone, you know, okay, Arnold. But I don't look at him as the picture of health by any stretch. We know he did steroids, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. We know that, you know, bodybuilding to that extreme, it looked great, but that doesn't necessarily make you healthy.
Right.
Eating that much protein and...
It does come with some stuff. So his heart was messed up. So then he had all these scars on his heart from getting all this work done. And apparently that tissue had been giving him an irregular heartbeat for the last few years. However, I'm thinking they went in an easy way because by the end of last week, you know, Monday he gets the surgery. By the end of last week, he's with Jane Fonda at some environmental event. He said, I can't do my serious training in the gym for a while, but it'll be 100% ready for FUBAR season 2 next month.
Oh, right. His Netflix show.
Yeah. So funny.
I fell off that.
Oh, did you start watching it?
Oh, I watched it. I fell off it, though. It wasn't bad. I liked it.
And I'm going to end with this story.
Okay.
Which I enjoyed reading.
Heads up, me. Time for a tag. Tease.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm ending with a story. So, Halle Berry... Yesterday, there was a day of unreasonable conversation. It was a summit. It was... First Lady Dr. Jill Biden Kerry Washington, Jane Fonda, all these people are, they're all sitting down. Halle Berry is one of the people who's included here. This is the fourth a day of unreasonable conversation, and I believe that this is Jill Biden's thing. Anyway, it's like it's an invite only thing, and it happened at the Getty Center down south. Maybe it's not her thing. I'm not sure. Either way, so Halle Berry gets up there and she's talking to Jill Biden, and they're talking about women's health, menopause, and the way older women's stories are often told. And so she is, Halle Berry is kind of as she's going into menopause, she's become really outspoken about it, and it's nice. People don't really talk about it. Like, actually, it comes up on this show more than I ever hear about it in the world, like between Musette's Hot Flashes and now mine, and just these things as we transition. It is, like, a lot of times we don't talk about it, and people just go, oh, it's this mysterious thing that happens, and then, you know, on the other side of it, you're like an old lady or something. So, Halle Berry is sitting down, she's talking about women's health, menopause, and the way women's stories, as you get older, change and are told. And Berry says her aim is changing the way women and men feel about women during their midlife and how they feel about menopause, perimenopause. And she says,
what's perimenopause?
That's like the lead up, the beginning stages. As you start to go, oh, my periods are becoming irregular, or, oh, I'm, you know, beginning to start having hot flashes or whatever your symptoms are. So Halle Berry launches into this story. She says she found out she was in perimenopause. She said, first of all, my ego told me I was going to skip it, that I'm safe, I'm healthy, I managed to get myself off.
Safe?
It, just whatever. That's what she said. I managed to get myself off insulin and manage my diabetes since I'm 20 years old. But at 54, she said she met the man of her dreams, partner Van Hunt. This is
Van Hunt.
New guy she's with. Mm-hmm. And she says all the sex she's having, she's like, we're having so much sex. And Joe Biden's like, I didn't know she was going to tell this story. I'm not talking about all the sex I'm having. Well, she'd say that exactly, but she's like, I'm not going to talk about
none of the sex.
Right.
Sex I'm not having.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So Halle Berry's like, we're having all this sex. And I was in extreme pain after the sex. So she goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have the worst case of herpes I've ever seen. And she and Van Hunt go and get tested, and they don't have it.
Oh, thank God.
And so she said, I realized after the fact that the pain I was experiencing is a symptom of perimenopause due to dryness. And she said, my doctor had no knowledge of this, did not prepare me. And she said, I need to use this platform that I have. I need to be talking about this openly in conversation with other. People need to know that these changes, because we don't talk. You don't even know what to expect. You start feeling changes in your body, and no one is like, okay, well, step one, this or this. Here's all the things you can experience. So crazy. She's like, I want to make a difference for other women. And it just was like, oh, my God. Can you imagine going to your doctor and they're like, you have the worst case of herpes I've ever seen?
I don't understand. So herpes is a blood test. How could this doctor?
He took a look and said, that's what you have. The worst case I've ever seen.
Women's bodies are such a mystery.
Mysterious even to doctors, it turns out.
Well, even to themselves. I don't know how to tell this story, so I probably shouldn't.
Just do it.
No, well, my older kid was saying that something was, there was a little bit of a sting, and I said, it's possible that's just a UTI. They happen. Your mom's not here right now, but we should, you know,
When she
gets back, she'll talk to you about that. Mm-hmm. I don't have one of those, so it's probably best to talk to an expert about what that could be. And nobody say this to anybody.
Okay,
ever.
We won't. Yeah.
She goes, you know what? I'm going to go take a shower. I feel like that might help. And I said, okay, but seriously, do not get soap.
In that area.
Anywhere near there.
Sure.
And she goes, huh? She didn't understand that was, she's not getting any kind of education about that.
She doesn't understand
area.
That there are entry points.
At all.
Right.
Zero. Looked at me like, huh? And I went, Mom will be home soon. Have a good shower. Like I didn't
Have
know.
A good
I went, how do you not know that? Okay.
Right. Well, she's 10.
I just would think you'd know, just
have, right. Well, I actually feel like even if you didn't back in the old days know this stuff at 10 years old, how have you avoided that just like life? You know, she's not on some of the social media. Although kids talk. God, I knew everything by the time I was 10.
No, but that's part of the change. We've had this strange shift back towards some innocence that you just don't. You don't even think it's possible, but that's where we're talking about kids in their 20s who've decided, I don't really have sex. I might be sending pictures and doing stuff by myself with them by themselves, you know.
But technically, I'm a virgin.
But we're not together in that. So there's a lot of stuff that seems...
Well, it's a whole new weird world and a weird way of social development.
But I don't know what's going on with Hallie in that.
It was crazy.
Doc goes, you've got the worst case of... You'd think she'd go, you can't diagnose that by looking at me.
Well, there's no possible sores, right? Well, here's the thing. So if dryness is a thing and she... you can get tore up. So maybe she had some open stuff that she was like, this, it's killing me. And the guy took a look and went, oh my God. That's the worst case of herpes I've ever seen. I don't know, guys. I mean, she didn't like show any pictures of it or anything. So who knows?
Can you get some pictures of it or anything?
I actually can't. Okay. I don't think there's any out there. But the two of them go and get tested. They're like, oh no. One of us gave the other one herpes.
That's
and they
Van?
Both, yeah. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's her boyfriend, Van Hunt. Mm-hmm. He's a good looking older dude. Looks like the right age. Bald head.
Really
white
bad
beard.
Ties, though. Did you see that last tie?
Look no, like let me the, see the last tie.
Go back to the last tie. What is that?
It's just like a little pin. Huh. He's using a pin to hold his shirt.
That's my grandma's brooch, Van. What are you doing?
I don't mind that. It's kind of cool.
No, it's not.
The next one is that little, he's got like a weird jewelry bow tie on in the next one. Anyway, well, whatever. The guy makes dubious fashion
But
choices.
You know what? He landed Halle Berry.
He did. He's doing okay.
And she's actually saying out in public, he overdid me.
He did me to whatever situation the area was in.
You know what, Van? I'm going to get some of those ties. You're right.
Yeah, maybe you'll get Halle Berry. Your wife is going to know.
Roach right over my oatmeal on my t-shirt. Here's why you're bad in bed after these.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
Yeah. Amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show. Exciting news, another Alice escape. We're sending you this time to see Justin Timberlake in Las Vegas twice all this week. All you have to do is log in and listen to Alice at 97.3 on the free Odyssey app. You listen for 60 minutes. Yeah, Odyssey, exactly. It's free. You get the app, you tune into Alice. If you listen for 60 minutes, it doesn't even have to be all at once. You just have to, you know, throughout the day, accumulate 60 minutes of listening, and you've attained your daily entry status. And that gives you the chance to win a trip for two to Las Vegas to see Justin Timberlake at T-Mobile Arena May 10th and May 11th, 2024. That's next month.
Boy, technology sure is something, huh?
It really is.
So you just have to log an hour.
Just log an hour. Once you get an hour, you are in the running.
Technology.
3-night hotel stay, round trip airfare, and tickets to two Justin Timberlake shows. All the details are at RadioAlice.com.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the Alice973 Instagram page. Ooh. Stay connected by following our Instagram for exclusive glimpses into the studio. You want to see Sarah? She's on there.
Hello.
It's your ultimate destination for entertaining behind the scenes moments.
Squirrel.
Well, Adele says hello. You have to say hello back, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Adele.
All right, here's what's happening. So I didn't see any rain in the forecast, but drove through rain on my way in today. So,
as did I.
Oh, you did?
You did too.
Yeah. It was wet down there for sure.
Yep. Okay, so there is scattered showers, I guess. There's also going to be some sun breaks. The actual rain isn't on my app until tomorrow.
Oh.
So, but that's the direction we're headed, is more storm action and another one on Friday, I believe. So, you know,
I don't think that's a full moon, but we have quite the view of the moon out the window.
I definitely saw a super bright moon in my backyard when I got up this morning and looked out, you know,
I love that when the moon is lighting the room. It's so cool.
I couldn't even see it. It was off to the side. I didn't have a view of it, but the backyard was brightly lit.
I love that.
Okay, so this is the first story I saw this morning when I got up.
Oh, the first one.
A major bridge in Baltimore collapsed this morning.
Mm.
A cargo ship hit this bridge. I took architecture as a student in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about design and engineering, but this bridge got... You know, they talk about boxers having a button. And if someone hits that button, the boxer goes down.
The boxer falls apart.
So the boxer can take, like, all these punches, but you get them right on the chin in the right spot, and they go out. It feels like there was a button on this bridge, and the whole thing lets go.
And it looks like little sticks. Like, this bridge looks...
Janky,
rusty and old.
So I'm not surprised that there would be a bridge, especially if it's a major point of use, that they find themselves going, it's fine. It's okay. We have to keep using this. Oh, Bryn's going to show the video. The
thing goes down.
Did you not see that before?
I have not seen the video. Okay. No, I've seen is now the sun's up and they're showing this.
Okay. That's the boat hitting the pillar, and this thing goes down all... So what I was saying about design and engineering is you'd think only a section of it would go. This whole freaking thing goes down at once.
Both sides, right. So once it loses the left side, even the right side, way over on the other side of the support beam starts to go. It's like it pops up. There's nothing holding that side down anymore. It's unbelievable,
now,
the crumbling.
You can't get the size from the video, but that is a giant cargo tanker that hits.
Right.
So this bridge is bigger than you think, even though it does look like wire.
So,
I mean, it's barely, the way it goes down, you just go, yikes. There were cars on that bridge, and there are people in that water. That water is 47 degrees.
Oh, God.
So, now, one of the things that I didn't realize at first, because I don't know the exact time, but it's the middle of the night.
Yes.
This was dark when this thing hit.
And it's early hours, I think, because they're just now showing the... I guess it's like, 9:30 or something.
Yeah, now there's light and they're in a rescue recovery situation. A container ship rammed into a major bridge in Baltimore early Tuesday, causing it to snap and plunge into the river below. Several vehicles fell into the chilly waters, again, 47 degrees. Our coast, I would say the coldest I've seen it get here is 49, and that is
so cold.
I have to wear my heaviest suit, my boots, and my gloves, and you're still looking at an hour and a half, and you got a headache, and you want to leave.
You're freezing.
So, and this is obviously people just in their cars on a bridge trying to get wherever they're going. Several vehicles fell into the chilly water, and rescuers are searching for survivors. I heard they rescued two people so far.
But that was a while ago. And that bridge goes under. It's not like it's resting on people.
It's not clear what caused the cargo ship to crash into this Francis Scott Key Bridge long before the busy morning commute. They say this is one of the main veins there. So it's going to be a major problem.
Mm.
One official says... they called this a developing mass casualty event.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know how many people were on that bridge. You can't tell by seeing the video because it is, as I say, bigger than you think, mm-hmm. you really can't see the cars on that bridge. When it's...
You can see that there are lights, though. As it's going down, it looks like there are... Well, I suppose they could be streetlights, but...
It's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell. Hopefully, because this happened in the early hours or whatever, you know, time this happened, hopefully... I mean, there's going to be loss of life. Like, no one survives. Look at that.
And this is like those other stories we've heard. I think it was, I want to say it was in Minnesota, but a bridge that failed. Later they went, yeah, this thing needed to be, you know, it's one of those things where someone's checked into it and signed off on it because it's such a big deal that it's like, we're not going to deal with that now. It seems to be working fine. We'll see. It'll come out now that something's happened.
There should be no way a boat can get that close to a major support. Like this, first of all, that boat is the fault. It's their fault.
It's a major cargo ship.
It's the ones we see coming into the bay, into Oakland.
And by the way, this is how stuff gets to market.
Right.
You know, we sort of take it for granted, but this is...
But they've got to build bridges now with some kind of something that protects the uprights on it that would shunt that ship to one side or the other or stop it. And it's like some kind of, you know how they have those collapsible things so that you don't ram into the point and when a exit goes off and there's all that sort of collapsible yellow stuff. Like there should be something strong enough to deflect a ship they're not going all that fast coming out of a port like that. You can actually see the port cranes and stuff right behind it.
No, they just had left.
So it's they right can't there. Have been going that
the
fast.
The overhead map shows you where their route and it's they just left.
What authorities idiot say, did not see this thing or be alerted by alarms going off in the bridge of that boat?
I don't know. I honestly, as much time as I spend in the ocean, I don't have a boat. I've been on boats, but I don't have any idea what it would take to drive
to
one of those cargo ships.
Right.
Those things are giant. They get out in the ocean and they can handle what's coming, you know, whatever storms come. But
there are pilots that we... from our ports here, we'll send to a ship to navigate it in. Like experts who know how to get that boat in and out.
And that's,
what the actual F happened here? Like somebody's, I mean, it's just, oh my God. I just don't want to know how many people we lost.
Authorities said a crew of unknown size was working on the bridge at the time of the collapse as well.
Mm. Oh God.
So there may have been just people...
Oh, my God.
On foot out there. Again, the water at 47 degrees isn't going to allow people to hang around for long. So
not long at all.
Anyway, real quick, let me repeat the headline and then we'll move on. So there, a cargo ship hits Baltimore's Key Bridge and that thing buckled. Rescuers are now looking for people in the water. Cars and it sounds like a crew of workers were on that bridge at the time it was hit and buckled. And I swear, I just, you know, who knows how old that bridge is, but I hope that, you know, through...
That's the shot I saw right there.
It's crazy.
It is exactly what you think. It's one of those incredibly enormous, wide loaded tankers, and it just runs right into the up. You can't even see the upright in that last picture anymore. It's plowed it down. There has to be something that could. Oh, you can even see the cones still on that one section you know what, Brittany? And look, this will be all over everybody's newsfeed. But this is
we're gonna hear about this.
This is the big story.
Well,
that
was inspected, and we should have rebuilt it 20 years ago. One of those, you know what I mean?
Yes, abso-freaking-lutely.
So,
well, that's what they say about America's infrastructure is aging, and it's not something people want to spend money. There's so many things to spend money on. They're like, that's fine, but it isn't.
Ryan Crawford just wrote me. He said, due to the crazy tides, the cargo ships are incredibly difficult to turn quickly. And I guess the tides have something to do with the.
Is he talking about in Chesapeake Bay?
He's talking about ships in general.
Oh.
You know, if the tides are a certain way and the winds push it a certain way.
Oh, well, that is so
well, yeah. Yes. No, I'm sure it's very difficult.
But whoever did that is still in trouble.
That is the gig. And you make the call. I can't do it now. The tide, the wind, the no.
And I don't know what, I don't know anything about the lifestyle of a person who's chosen to be out on the sea like that. I mean, you talk about long haul truckers. My dad had a friend who was a trucker. The guy was gone all the time. But he did get home because he was working on the continental United States. Right. But these guys go out to sea for how long?
How long does it take to steam across to China to pick up the next load and dump off what we're leaving there?
And once you're out there at sea with no one in sight for... That's just...
Now we're just on a cruise ship with no amenities. And the food sucks.
That we'll get more as stuff comes out. I'll let you know. But
it's 15 to 25 days. It's from China
one way crossing
to U.S.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. 15 to 25. It's kind of broad.
That's probably so many things that figure into that we don't even.
Well, that
we
went longer than I expected, and certainly does. No, that's not your fault. It's a big story, and it's super scary, and I'm shocked. At watching the video of that thing buckle, you just can't believe it. But I did tease you with this story, so I'll get to it. These are the top signs you're bad in bed. And, of course, I went, let me check that out.
Mm. Got any of these?
I don't know. Well, I'll read them to you.
Okay, yeah, please.
Would you say, Sarah, I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm ready.
This is just for the story's sake of the story. Actually, never mind. I'm not going to ask you because I'll ask myself.
What is happening?
Would you say you're good in bed is the question this story's asking? And I would say, meh.
Oh, you're saying meh.
Well, I mean,
why?
I didn't get around like I should have. I really should have practiced on hundreds of women.
Counts for something.
I do.
And I think, too, you know, having been married all these years, I'm sure I'm not turning in my best work every time. And I'm sure that's true of any long-time married couple, even short-time married couple. You know, when you're with someone new and things are, like, interesting and brand new and you're trying to make your mark, I'm sure you're putting a little more effort into it. Go on.
You're not confident. That's the number one thing. You're not confident. That includes confidence in your skills and your body. Yeah. Things like insisting the lights are off certainly can put a damper on things. Keep the blankets on. How am I supposed to do that? And it's hot.
Yeah, it is hot. I agree.
Tired. My abs hurt.
Oh, well, you need to work out.
Your partner doesn't seem that into it.
That's a sign you're not that good.
I've come across that. I'm so tired. Can you rally for me?
Nah, I really can't.
Here's a cup of coffee.
I've fallen asleep.
Give it a shot.
During sex before.
Does that mean John's bad?
I'm sure it's happened with John, but I can think of one time in particular where I was, you're lit and you're just, okay, we're doing this.
Well, the lit part, that's probably what it
is. Yeah, wasted is, that's kind of different. Your partner doesn't seem that into it. Pretty obvious. They're not enjoying it. You might not be who you think you are. You're easily distracted.
Oh, I just got to get this. I'm waiting on a really important phone call. Hold that position. Do not move. Don't move one inch.
You're supposed to be unable to think of anything else right now. Mm. I'm doing my best work here.
What am I, dude?
What? You're embarrassed to talk about sex. Again, shows a lack of confidence, communication. These are the top signs you're bad in bed. Mm. It's funny, though, that people are... You'd have more difficulty talking to your person directly than to a room full of people sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to tell you your butt is smelly or whatever, you know.
Deal with it.
No, I think most people would. You never change your routine. That's a tough one because married couples or long-term couples find themselves going, I know exactly what works on you, and I know that
I'm looking to get this done in the next 8 minutes.
Sarah's checking the watch that's not on her wrist.
Okay, I'm going to say this one thing, and then I'm going to do this one other thing, and then I'm going to say this other thing, and then
You go boom.
I'm going to tell you where to. You go boom. You go boom.
You're constantly worried. This is the last one, so we'll move on after okay. this. You're constantly worried about performing. Performance issues affect up to 25% of men and 16% of women.
Oh.
This might seem counterintuitive, but try taking pressure off yourself by focusing on your own enjoyment, not just theirs. I definitely try to stay, well, less now, but I have always thought, like, I want to be ready.
Oh.
In case it comes up.
Uh-huh.
I want to be, like, do my best work.
Mm.
Anytime I'm asked to.
You're always like sort of considering whether or not the 1 o'clock should happen in case.
As long term, you know, as long periods of time go between times, you start to go like, I can't stay ready.
I just need to scratch the itch and just be. I'm just ready for myself.
You know what I mean? Like you find yourself going, I've been looking forward to it. And 3 weeks later, hey, forget it. I can't stop. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Oh, here's some of the stuff you guys had to say. Right. I was saying the same thing as Sarah. The bridge should be able to have something so the ship doesn't ruin the whole thing. But my husband is saying the cargo ship is just too big. They're gigantic. You cannot believe how big these ships are. And part of it is they're hauling all the stuff to and from market.
Yep.
So it is really, but they also, they go out way out to sea and have to handle those big oceans.
Yep.
It's not a little, you know. It's
Yeah, and they don't, like, delay for storms, really. I'm sure maybe for hurricanes they do, but for the most part, they're just going to go.
408 says, ABC is reporting that the ship lost propulsion and sent a warning that they were going to hit the bridge.
Oh.
Why it lost power, we don't know yet.
So maybe they were able to get some people off of there. Oh, my God. I wonder how much time they had. Jesus. Oh, this is just awful.
Yeah, it really is. Especially because we are very much a waterway area.
Oh, my God. Right. It looks like it could be our bridge.
But if you remember, we've had times when the tides have caused an issue where a huge ship, they have to wait and come in
high. They got to come in at low tide so that they can make it. Remember there was like a ship that everyone was watching. It made it by like 3 feet.
It looks like inches when you're looking at the size of the thing from a distance. You just go, oh, boy, they really know their math and they need to.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
I mean, my God. Baltimore's going to be crippled.
408 says, right now, P. Diddy is thanking that bridge.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the big story today.
Is that coming up in the trash?
You know, I was going to save it for 8, but maybe I'll switch it.
What's coming up in the trash there?
You know what? Now that it's come up, why don't we do the Diddy story?
Okay.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.